Okay, thanks. All right, I think we're going to get started. This meeting is to take comments as a scoping meeting for the EIR, Environmental Impact Report, for the General Plan Local Coastal Program update, which also includes the update and rewrite of the zoning code. We have a presentation for you. I think I'll turn it over to Amy to start with the presentation.
Thanks, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. As Scott mentioned, we are here to officially kick off the environmental impact report process for the Plan Morro Bay for the General Plan and Local Coastal Program. We're going to have an overview, So we're going to give a relatively brief presentation to introduce you to this part of the process, and we'd like to take comments at the end, and we'll have you come up to the lectern to give your comments. If you could also focus on the CEQA, or the California Environmental Impact, Quality Act, related topics, that would be appreciated, and we're going to go over what those topics are a little bit later in the presentation. We also have at the back a sign-in sheet, as well as some comment cards if you want to sign up on either one. We will take written comments if you would rather do that instead of speaking. So the purpose is to let you know about this project if you don't already. We also have circulated what is called this Notice of Preparation. You may have seen the document itself. It's about a 20-page document that goes over the project description as well as the how we will go about the environmental analysis. That also has been sent to agencies both regionally and at the state level for their review. And we will also talk about what's coming up in terms of other opportunities for input on the Environmental Impact Report, or EIR. I'm going to abbreviate it from here on out. And we have our preferred project for Plan Morro Bay, which basically means the draft proposed land use map, as well as the policies. And that draft document will be coming out early next year. So if you have ideas that aren't on that preferred land use map that you want to talk to us about today, that's another opportunity for that. So here's our agenda. We're going to have this overview at the beginning, and then, like I said, we'll get into the information about the environmental impact report process and what we're anticipating to be issues for this project, some next steps and schedule information, and then we'll take your questions and comments. So Plan Morro Bay, as I mentioned, is the update to the city's general plan and local coastal program. So it's an integrated plan, which means that we're putting those documents together. And the local coastal program addresses the Coastal Commission's requirements for the coastal zone and long-term planning for that area. And Morro Bay is almost entirely within the coastal zone. I'll jump ahead here. So on this map, the triangle that is just under the red hatching, about midway through the map there, is the only area of the city that's outside the coastal zone. And you can see there's a yellow line that swoops down from the top left, makes kind of a U shape, and then goes back up to the right. And that's the coastal zone boundary. Unfortunately, the pointer is broken.
Maybe I don't.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so I'm talking about this little triangle here is the only area currently inside the Morro Bay city limits that is not in the coastal zone. And then this yellow line is the coastal zone boundary. And we'll come back to this map. So this plan is looking at what we're calling the planning area, and that includes the current area inside the city limits, which is about 3,700 acres. And then we have also added an area that is outside the city limits to consider in terms of being of interest to Morro Bay. And that means that There's a chance that in the future, Morro Bay might be interested in annexing some or all of that area, or certain property owners might be interested in that, or it may just remain in as an area that is of interest, meaning if something is happening in that area, the city would like to know about it and perhaps have the opportunity to comment on that. So it's a pretty broad definition, but at this point in the process, that's where we're at with that. So that totals 8,800 acres, and we'll take a look at that more on the map. In terms of what exists within this planning area currently, almost 70% of that is agriculture. So the area outside the city limits that would be added to the planning area is almost exclusively agriculture currently. About 16% is parks and open space, 8% is in residential uses, and 7% would be all other uses, including schools, commercial uses, tourism, etc. So just to give you a sense for what is happening in this area. And then, like I said, this is a comprehensive update, not only of the general plan and the local, well, the land use plan of the local coastal program, but also of the city's zoning code, so the implementation regulations, as well as what's called the implementation plan component of the local coastal program. And those two are also integrated. So the general plan, land use plan, is going to be one document that you'll see coming out, like I said, early next year for public review. And then a little bit behind that will be the zoning code update. And we have presented to the General Plan Advisory Committee already on some portions of the zoning code, and we'll continue to do so. And then the public draft will follow. For Plan Morro Bay itself, the long-range plan, it's organized into what we call the blueprint and the green print. So this contains what are somewhat traditional general plan elements, like land use and circulation, for example. And they're grouped into the elements that mostly have to do with development, or what is the vision for developing or not developing Morro Bay. And then the green print, which is more of the conservation-oriented portion. And that includes things like open space and planning for natural hazards and things like that. So I'm not going to read everything on the next two slides, but this is basically the table of contents for Plan Morro Bay. And as you can see, we've got the blueprint elements, as well as the green print. And then at the end, there will be an implementation section, as well as some glossary, acronyms, and appendices, which are supporting documents, some of which have already come out for public review. So the proposed land use map, this has not changed since this was presented earlier this year to the GPAC and we've had other meetings with this proposed map. So this shows you the whole planning area. The existing city limit is here. So you can really see how this whole area is what we're proposing to be added as that area of interest, but it's quite large compared to the existing city. This area here with the hatching in red is an area that would be proposed to be added to the city's sphere of influence, and that wouldn't happen automatically if this was approved. There would still need to be a process with the Local Area Formation Commission, LAFCO, but that is where things stand in terms of the draft. And that area would be more positioned to be annexed to the city than everything else in the planning area outside the city. So all of this other green. Like I mentioned, most of that is in agriculture currently. This blue square is where the water reclamation facility is proposed. It's currently outside the city. So I'm happy to, if there are specific questions later that deal with the map, we can take a look at this and point things out. So part of the land use element of the plan, which is in the project description in the notice of preparation, is how things are projected to change under this preferred alternative, and that's with the land use map that you just looked at. So with the different areas of the city designated the way they are in that map, as well as some projections that we've done related to population and housing units, these are some draft numbers for how things would increase through the year 2040. So population would be projected to increase as much as 1,400 people, 900 housing units, and potentially up to 4 million square feet of non-residential square footage. So this is the maximum amount that we're projecting. Of course, real life can play out, you know, not according to this plan, but this is the way that we plan for things like infrastructure, so sewer, water, roadways, is by, you know, whatever these numbers end up as when this plan is final, the city will be planning to have enough infrastructure and so forth to serve these numbers. And I'm going to hand it off to Chris Birsbach, who's here with our environmental specialist, Rincon.
Thank you, Amy. I'm Chris Birsbach. I work with Rincon Consultants. We are working with the city to develop the environmental impact report for the general plan update. So the primary reason that we're here tonight is to talk about the scope of the environmental review for the general plan and the local coastal program update. The environmental review is something that's a legally required component of the project. It's pursuant to what's called the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, if I use the term again. The city is going to be preparing an environmental impact report for this plan update, which is going to evaluate the potential environmental effects of the updated general plan and the local coastal program update. So in a moment, we're going to cover some of the topics that we know that the EIR is going to address. But first, I want to spend just a minute on the purpose of the EIR. An EIR is an informational document. It discloses the environmental effects of a project, but it does not approve or deny a project. The City Council may ultimately approve, deny, or modify a project, whether or not the environmental impact report identifies any significant environmental effects. If significant environmental effects are identified, CEQA requires that mitigation measures be considered as part of the project action to avoid or reduce those identified impacts. If there are no feasible mitigation measures for an identified impact that would avoid or reduce that impact, the city can still issue a statement of overriding considerations and approve the project. This slide shows the process that the city will follow preparing the environmental impact report. Tonight's scoping meeting is one of the first steps in the process, and the city's here tonight to solicit feedback from the public on the issues that we will be addressing in the EIR. Once the draft EIR has been prepared, it'll be released publicly for a 45-day review period, during which there will be another public hearing to take comments on the conclusions of the EIR, including impacts identified and mitigation measures that are included in that document. And then the final EIR will include responses to all verbal and written comments received during the public review period, and will be considered by the Planning Commission and the City Council at further public hearings. The CEQA guidelines include a list of environmental topics that are required to be addressed in an EIR. The EIR will discuss all of the topics identified in the guidelines, but the city has also specifically identified the topics shown on this slide as important issues and resources that could be affected by the general plan and the local coastal program update. So these include aesthetics, which is scenic views, things like that, air quality, greenhouse gas emissions, cultural resources, energy consumption, geology, hazardous materials, noise, population and housing, land use and planning, water quality, public services, transportation and traffic, and utilities. So all of these issues the city is already anticipating addressing carefully in the environmental impact report for the project. The EIR analysis is defined by the scope of the project. So in this case, the project includes adoption of the coastal land use plan and general plan, and adoption of the local implementation plan and the zoning code update. The EIR will evaluate long-term consequences of these actions and prescribe mitigation to reduce any significant environmental effects that are identified in the analysis. And because this EIR is going to broadly evaluate the potential impacts of future development in Morro Bay, it will also provide a roadmap for future environmental documents to tier from, streamlining environmental review for projects that are consistent with the general plan and the local coastal program. So at the conclusion of this presentation, we'll be accepting comments from you regarding the issues that should be considered in the EIR for the general plan and local coastal program update. These can pertain to the technical issues to address in the EIR, potential mitigation measures, or the appropriate range of project alternatives to evaluate in the EIR. And then, in addition to offering comments at this hearing, you can also submit comments by mail or email to the city at the addresses on this slide. And we can bring this back up or leave it up if anybody needs to write this information down. So Amy is going to discuss the next steps of the project.
So like Chris mentioned, we are accepting comments on the notice of preparation and on environmental issues through December 8th. And then we will be evaluating the potential impacts and drafting the EIR through the spring of next year. And as Chris also mentioned, there will then be that 45-day public comment period after the actual draft has been released for public review. And hopefully in the summer, our goal is to finish the EIR and respond to all the comments that have been received. And that would conclude at the same time as the hearings to actually adopt Plan Morro Bay. And just an update on other parts of the project. We are expecting the final downtown waterfront strategic plan to be in front of City Council on December 12th of this year. And we will be holding a GPAC meeting in December as well on the 21st, and that'll be at 4 p.m. And I believe that is it. Yeah. We'd be happy to take your comments and questions.
First of all, I don't really know what sphere of influence is. And also, I'm wondering...
Okay. I don't know what sphere of influence is. And also, when I look at that brown hatched area, is that an area Morro Bay already owns? Are they buying it? Or are they trying to have whatever you call sphere of influence there? And does it end on the north part? Does it end on the creek? Or does it end on Toro Creek Road? Because when I see the sign saying Morro Bay City Limit, that's kind of up by the creek. But when I look at the map, I don't know. See that brownish hatch area that goes north?
Yeah, so I'll answer that question, then
okay.
I can talk a little more
and
about
then sphere of influence. And then all the green areas, is that, is it just the county, or is it some of it is Cayuga, or some is Morro Bay, or is it owned by anybody? I mean, this is for someone who doesn't really know much about this stuff.
Yeah, those are good questions. So the... question about where does the sphere of influence end? So the sphere of influence is completely outside the current city limits. So is the green area, otherwise known as the rest of the planning area. And so you're asking about Toro Creek. And so it's all, the sphere of influence is not go out to Toro Creek. I do not believe. And let me confirm that with Scott. So is Toro Creek here?
Yes.
Yeah. So we do not extend any of the planning area all the way to Toro Creek currently. And to answer your question about what is the sphere of influence, so currently Morro Bay does have a sphere of influence. It's not very large, and it is mostly in the estuary, so not on land. And it's, but other cities have a larger sphere of influence, just to talk about the concept. And it's an area that is in the county. It's not in the city limits currently, but it's an area that the city has worked to identify whether it could be, if it was annexed into the city, could it be served with police, fire, utilities, etc., and what would be the impacts of that. And the city has worked with LAFCO to figure out that that's an area that would be acceptable for annexation in the future if either the city or one of the landowners in that sphere of influence area wanted to apply to annex. So the area in Red Hatching is not currently owned by the city, and the idea is not that the city would necessarily buy it if it was annexed or placed into the sphere of influence, either one. The idea is that it would be that analysis would occur so that if somebody who owned it at the time, could be the city potentially, but is not currently, wanted to go through the annexation process, there would be this analysis and work that had already been done with the LAFCO to make it qualify to go to that next step in the annexation process.
Can I ask the previous commenter if you'd mind stating your name for the record?
Raymore, R-I-G-M-O-R.
Thank you.
Yes, Bill Martin, Morro Bay. A couple questions, and first on the question Rigmore had, are you proposing that's zoned ag land right now in the coastal zone? And are you proposing to change it from ag zoning in the future to rec open space? Because I know agriculture is top priority for the coastal zone, so it doesn't seem like it would be doable to put it into rec open space. And I didn't know if that was the intent of your zoning map right now for...
Are you speaking about the Red Hatched area?
No, I'm speaking about your sphere of influence up, in fact, that's up Toro Creek, everything on the south side of Toro Creek Road and everything up Little Morro Valley. Everything
so
in the green. Exactly.
Yeah, that's agriculture. So
yeah.
Right here, that's proposed to stay as agriculture.
Okay, so it was the darker green. I gotcha.
I had the wrong green. Like these areas down here, the golf course, and of course this area along the coast, most of which is also currently open space.
No, you're correct. I just had the wrong green.
No problem.
Okay, two other questions. You have in the bay itself over by Fairbanks Point is Esha right now. And I understand you're proposing to pull that out of Esha. Is that correct? You know, on some of the maps I've seen, it's a hash mark in the bay between, like, the Inn at Morro Bay and the fuel dock.
I believe that's the case. I don't have those maps in front of me today.
Yeah, because I know typically in the bay, I mean, to pull something out of Esha is extremely, you know, difficult, or I don't think Coastal does that. So I didn't know the purpose or the reasoning for pulling that out of Esha. This is in front of the Inn at Morro Bay and all that.
And so it's my recollection, again, we don't have our Esha expert here at this meeting, but my recollection is that it is currently identified,
is.
As you know, in the LCP, and I believe it is not currently proposed in our analysis as Esha because it could potentially be habitat for the leatherback turtle, but it hasn't actually occurred maybe ever in a very long time, and so that's and it isn't developable. So that's I believe that's
well,
where
actually
we were at
it's
that.
All water lease sites. That whole area is water lease sites, so it is in a lease area, so it is developable.
Right.
But that said, I just didn't know if you were actually pulling it out. So you're saying you're pulling out because of the leatherback doesn't exist, or
that's what I remember from the last time we discussed Esha and made changes. But I again.
Okay.
That's not final.
Yeah. Actually, the main question I had was down in Special Planning Area B, which is Acacia, you know, on Main Street, there's 20 lots there. Currently, it has a mixed-use zoning. The actual current map shows approximately 50 to 60% of that as waterfront commercial and then the rest residential. The actual old zoning map, if you look at it, about 10% of that below the bluff is waterfront commercial. The remainder is residential. And your current maps are extremely inaccurate. And so I just needed to see that you're going to correct that map. And that is so that it shows the accurate map. If you look at the old city zoning maps, it will actually show the accuracy of the about 10% of that property. And I was just going to make sure that that was corrected to show the actual true lines.
I think that's the intent in the zoning, but I'll let Cindy and Scott respond if they want to as well.
No, we've gotten your comments before, Bill. And so,
correct.
Yeah. So we'll be working on that. Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned it was because afterwards, bringing up those comments, you did mention that that area was about half residential and half commercial in a meeting afterwards. So I just wanted to kind of put that on the radar that it's a very thin strip there and that it gets corrected. Thank you.
If I may add just one note to one of your comments, any changes, if there are any changes to ESHA, that would be evaluated in the environmental impact report.
Okay, thanks.
Did you want his name?
Thank you. My name's Betty Winholtz. I have a number of questions. One is, let me express my concern that you would have a GPAC meeting on December 21st, right before Christmas. I think that's really poor planning for the community to get involved. It's too close to the holiday. A lot of people will be either gone or their company will be here. And so I don't know if that's appropriate timing. Just want to put that out there. I noticed that you don't have on your list of items under CEQA either biological resources or agricultural resources. And I was wondering what's up with that, if you're going to put them back in, or are they under another topic? Because they're very traditional topics under CEQA, particularly if you're considering annexing ag land and or putting ag land in a area of proposal. That's one step below annexation. It seems to me you need to address ag, and certainly all of Morro Bay being a tree city and bird sanctuary, very much biological resources are of concern to the immediate city as well as our borders. You talked about that in the EIR you'll address long-term effects and mitigation. Traditionally, you also, I think, have to do a no project alternatives, and will you be doing that? The 933 homes, are those in this ag land that's going to be ag next? Because I don't know where we could put 900 homes inside the city limits right now. It seems to me that's a projection outside the city limits, and my question is that true? Where are you going to put those 900 homes? And I'm wondering why you want to annex ag land if we're not going to develop it. So it seems to me that huge green space shouldn't even be in this planning area unless your intent is in 20, 25 years down the road, you think that's going to be coming into and annexed. I can see the little piece that we've talked about over the last few months, but that huge area just seems so inappropriate. So then my question comes back to you had your list of percentages of this land, which includes all that ag land out there. If you took the green part, the ag land out, what different percentages of our town are actually under those categories? Because right now you're allowing the ag to dominate, which is not who we are. I think those are my questions for now.
Thank you. I'll respond briefly to two of those. We absolutely will be evaluating biological resources and agricultural resources in the environmental impact report. So thank you for that, and I've noted that as well in the comments that we'll be noting specifically that we received during the NOP comment period in the introduction to the EIR. And yes, we will be evaluating a no-project alternative. We haven't specifically identified yet the suite of alternatives that will be evaluated in the EIR, but you're absolutely correct that that's a CEQA requirement. So the traditional no-project alternative will be evaluated, and I'll add that sometimes in especially long-term build-out situations, we'll often consider evaluating multiple no-project alternatives. For example, a no-project, no-development alternative, a no-project, existing zoning alternative. So those are among the alternatives that would be considered in the EIR.
And I'll add on a couple of the questions. So in terms of the growth of 933 homes, only 15 of those are projected outside the city limits, and those are in that future SOI area, the red hatched area. That is under the agricultural zoning, so that would be one unit per parcel. And so the rest of them are inside the city limits. And in terms of, so the ag land outside of the city limits is not proposed to be annexed. And so the reason that it is included in that planning area would be to have the kind of the interest, like I mentioned earlier, of the city be known for that area. A lot of the input we've received so far on the project is that folks in the community would like to make sure that it remains it as either agriculture or in some type of relatively wild state, and so the draft map has it shown as agriculture. If you participated in some of our earlier meetings on this, we definitely considered alternatives of having it be open space as well. So that was something we heard from the community, the desire for it to be kept in an undeveloped state. So I definitely understand your concern that putting it into a category that could lead to annexation might be more towards development. That definitely is not the intent, and that isn't what we heard from the community for the most part. Finally, the different percentages, I do have them here. So if we were just talking about the existing city limits, which is the 3,700 acres, the breakdown would be 6% agriculture, 15% residential, 68% parks and open space, and 11% all other uses. And I think that's all of your questions.
I'd like to add in, Betty, on the area in green that you were talking about. We actually have a memorandum of agreement that's through LAFCO with the county that encompasses an area that's significantly outside the city limits, and anytime a project's proposed out in the county in those areas, we get notified of them, and so it helps with that. So, because it was a concern of our citizens about trying to keep tabs on that area, much of that land is the Chevron property, as you're aware. It's really to keep tabs on that area and to make sure that we have that agreement with the county so that we're getting notified when anything's happening out there. So that's part of it.
Anyone else would like to comment? Okay. Please feel free to fill out a written comment if you would rather participate in that way. We also, like Chris mentioned, will be taking comments through December 8th. So if you think of further questions or comments, please send them in. And I'll turn it back over to Scott if you have any closing remarks.
And I appreciate you coming out to start this off. It's kind of exciting. This was the final phase of the general plan LCP update, and we're moving forward on that now. So we are moving on the plan Morro Bay, the general plan LCP update portion, the zoning code portion is moving forward, and now the environmental component. So we are moving forward on sort of all three phases of the update at this point. Again, I appreciate you coming out and providing your comment. Certainly, if you think of more things that you'd like to, information you'd like to give us or comments you'd like to give us, certainly email me or Cindy. We'll take those in. And then you'll have certainly additional opportunities to comment on it once we release the draft. So appreciate your input.
And if anyone wants them, there are further comment cards in the back. We'll be hanging out for a little while, so I'll take those if you would like to provide a written comment.
Sorry about that. Bill Martini again. Had one question on the Tri-W property inside the city limits. I haven't been to some of the earlier meetings. And now, are you proposing on the commercial area of switching that over to residential? Because I thought I saw that on one of your proposal. That's at the roundabout, you know, the...
No, we're not. It's the zoning, or the designation and the zoning is basically remaining the same. We have changed the name of the commercial designation that's on there from service commercial to district commercial.
Correct.
But it's basically would be allowing the same thing that is under the measure that, that controls that property.
That's great. Yeah, because I thought I saw one thing where one of those four lots was being proposed for potential.
That was an alternative we considered, but didn't make it into the draft plan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great.